Not this.
Autumn turns to winter, and then winter turns to spring. It's not just the
wasn't
season
enough.
To know
right.
It goes.
Time for the heavy
everything.
Weaponry, you little shitbag.
Even two for voices when boys begin to grow. You gotta take the lesson from Mother Nature, and if you do, you'll know.
When it's time to change, then it's time to change. Don't fight the tide, come along for the ride. Don't you see?
It's hard to see.
Just make
the changes
it
you've been
stop.
Through. A little bit of living, a little bit of growing, all adds up to you. For every boy's a man inside,
a girl's a woman too. And if you want to,
holy shit, how long is this song?
You've got to do.
When it's time to change, then it's
time to change.
Now that that's been taken care of, I might as well introduce you to the show. This is the Wrestling Troll Podcast. It is not the name of the podcast that I mentioned last week, which a few people pointed out in the emails. Sorry, not going to read those or any of them this week, because I think that was it. It was just pointing out my mistakes, and then I got a death threat or something because I posted this episode on Reddit, so I will no longer be whoring this out on Reddit. Just kidding. I'm still going to keep doing it. But it is time for a change. There might be a few changes to this podcast. I will hopefully not only be watching Raw from now on, but I will be watching other shows that are wrestling related throughout the week. And this week I actually do have another, or I did have another show that I watched. I completely forgot what I was talking about because I had to go take a shit in between that little pause right there. Anyway, no news this week because nothing really happened. I mean, Alex Jones did go crazy on Piers Morgan last night, but I hate both of those guys, so I'm not really going to talk about it. But if you want a little bit of entertainment, because there you're not going to find any at this show, why don't you just search Alex Jones on Piers Morgan or something on YouTube. Watch both parts of it. It's fucking hilarious. Oh my god. He's crazy. And the only thing I didn't like about that video is that he actually made Piers Morgan seem somewhat intelligent. Well, I don't know if I can really say that, but whatever. This is The Wrestling Troll. You can listen to this on Zune. No, you can listen to it on Zune, but yeah, basically anywhere but the Xbox Music / Zune feed. You can listen to it on iTunes, The Wrestling Troll. If you leave me a review there, I will read it on the show. If you live in the United States, if not, email me, tell me what country you're from, and whenever you leave the review, and I will read it on the show. It helps out with the rankings. You can also listen to this on wrestlingtroll.podomatic.com. And over there, you will find a PayPal link where you can help fund the show. And the little added bonus that you get for doing that is that all of the back episodes will be available, because just in a matter of weeks, I'm going to start taking some episodes off, and you will no longer have access to all of them forever, and I will continue to do that to fill up space for the more recent episodes. So, help me out over at PayPal, and I will give you access to every single show, okay? Got a pop filter this week, so in case I sound a little different, but nobody gives a shit, alright? What else is there? There's also my email, wrestlingtroll@gmail.com. I have your opinions and thoughts heard on the show. Doesn't even have to be wrestling related, but preferably wrestling related, since this is The Wrestling Troll, and not that other podcast, This Week in Pro Wrestling. That was a shitty podcast I had on, well, that was a shitty 10-minute recording I had on YouTube when I was like 12 or something. No, it was about 2 or 3 years ago, and then YouTube took down my channel, and eventually I managed to make a more professional-sounding podcast right here, available for you every Tuesday, Wednesday. But anyway, this is going to be a big show. No news, obviously, because nothing happened, but first recap out of 2, and I think we'll just get out of here after that. I don't really have anything else planned for this show. I'm tired, and I'm running on a Pepsi that I drank well over an hour ago, so let's see if I can just get through this before the old caffeine wears out. Impact! Recap! Anyway, I did watch TNA Impact Wrestling this week. That's pretty much... that's been covered, okay? I actually watched Monday Night Raw and Impact all in one night and took notes on them, so I started off with Raw and then switched over to last week's Impact, which, yeah, that's how it works out. The Impact recap will be a little dated, and I'll just put it at the beginning of the show, then I'll have the Raw recap and whatever the fuck else I want to talk about before the week's over. But yeah, this Impact recap is a little short because I was burnt out by the time I finished the 3-hour Raw. I watched all of about 10-20 minutes of Impact. So this one is going to be short. But anyway, tonight on Impact, a middle-aged man fucks the female offspring of the Hogan family. A mid-carder from WWE SmackDown is given a main event feud, and Sting returns for the 4,000th time to hit someone with a bat. Seriously, guys, just remember, you could be watching reruns of One Tree Hill instead. How's that for a hip reference? It's almost like we write for WWE. Anyway, some generic voice I don't know or recognize opens the show, followed by JB. What is his name? I don't know. I just know his initials are JB. John Bradshaw. Not Layfield. Give me a second. The wheels are turning. I'm going to figure this one out. No, I got nothing. Anyway, that's how they start out the show. JB gives a trophy to a wrestler. Hooray! Anyway, these nominees include Bully Ray, the innovator in heel characters by adding Bully to his name, what JB calls the number one points getter, a title my 6-year-old cousin would give someone. And then it gets interrupted by the screaming girl in the crowd, and it looks like this crowd hasn't changed a bit. In a few more minutes, I'll see that red-haired girl that always wears dark clothing, and a quick shot to the paid models cheering for James Storm will be in the front row. But hey, we can't trash him. He drinks beer and got nominated for an award handed out by the company he's employed by. Anyway, next out for the nomination is James Storm. Well, yeah, I covered that. Anyway, then Austin Aries, who stole the show after pulling off a title victory on pay-per-view months ago, just gaining attention, who then turned heel lost the title because no one beats the streak of the shit factor Bobby Roode, who was also a nominee. Transitions. The final nominee is the cocaine snorting, wellness policy violating, company bouncing, Vicodin fiend we've all grown to love. It's Jeff Hardy. And I gotta tell you one thing, creatures of the night, I'm never, ever going away. That right there is some good shit. Creatures of the night, are you with me? Anyway, the winner is Jeff Hardy. Please don't leave TNA. Here's the title, promotion of your music, and Wrestler of the Year award. LOL, resign. If it wasn't made obvious enough yet that they are trying anything they can to keep Jeff Hardy, I'd almost call it a WWE comedy segment. Hardy accepts the award and says, Happy New Year, and a merry cocaine binge to you too. Bobby Roode storms into the ring and criticizes Hardy for saying that the votes from the fans matter as much to him as the world title. But you know what actually has ultimate precedence for Hardy? Drugs. LOL, addict. It's the second one in like 4 minutes. I've made that joke now. Then Aries and Roode shout, It's me, back and forth. I don't even know why, until DDP debuts and takes both of them out. Unless he's already been in TNA before. I don't fucking know. Just go along with the joke, okay? Then Aries bumps into the trophy, nearly shattering it. What a prestigious achievement from a major, well-renowned company. Later tonight, Angle and Samoan Joe square off against the other Dudley, which I can't even remember. Oh yeah, D-Von. D-Von was his name. And a guy who definitely wasn't curtain jerking on SmackDown 5 years ago. Stay tuned. Then a bunch of 3-minute matches happen, and all I've got to say about that is, for a company that prides itself on wrestling, it sure does feature a lot less wrestling than the company it competes with. Yeah. Then a video package airs for Doc, or DOC, Director of Chaos, formerly known as the retarded guy on SmackDown. Hogan suspends Mark Henry for fucking his son, Brooke. And the TNA Knockouts and Hardcore Cunt Mickey James pull each other's hair while the woman responsible for Drew McIntyre's current angle referees the match. What else happened on this show? Oh, yeah. One thing about those Knockouts, though. At least I can say that I'd fuck every single one of those women in that match, except for Tara. The same can't be said for the WWE Divas. There's quite a bit of them that I'd say, no. Tamina and Natalya are a couple, and then of course Rosa Mendez, because no one wants to fuck her or give her flowers. Just ask Hornswoggle. What else? Yeah, the Knockouts are fucking hot, excluding ODB and, Tara and anyone else that is not attractive, okay? You get my point. Sorry, but I'm not into, like, the 50-year-old women. It's too close to my parents' age, and yeah. Yeah, not really into fucking mom there. Ugh, God, I can't even believe I just said that. Fuck. Ugh, that was nasty. Anyway, oh yeah, that's right. Can't really fuck Tiffany, because then she might beat the shit out of me afterwards, but it's also implying that these women would agree to have sex with me in the first place. Yeah. That's right. Who needs consent as long as I'm enjoying it? Uh-huh. Then again, I could always dangle a piece of cake in front of Mickey James and get her to fuck me. Oh God, ODB was just on the TV. Speaking of her, but anyway, that was a really long pause. I'm sorry for that, but yeah. Pepsi is Pepsi's fucking up my brain, okay? I did not sleep well, and I'm just running on this Pepsi shit until it wears off. Anyway, Mike Knox is revealed as a member of Nexus and Eights, filling out the roster of SmackDown 5 years ago. Then Sting returns in the final segment, which coincided with this one, and... yeah. I actually put more excitement and emphasis into that sentence than TNA did into his actual return. If you haven't seen it, Sting just walked into the cage and hit people with his bat. They didn't even focus in on him walking down the ring, didn't play his music or anything, which I really don't have a problem with. They could just have him lower down from the ceiling. Nothing dramatic or exciting about it. The camera just does a quick cut to him right as he's entering the cage. Oh god, it's Sting! Here he comes! He's back! No! You don't do that. And I was actually exaggerating the commentary team. Like, oh, it's Sting! He's back! Hooray! Fuck yeah, he's got his bat. Now he's taking it to Aces and Eights. Yeah! Anyway. Can I just talk about Raw and get this podcast over with? I heard there's a familiar face on there, known as The Rock from the WWE. And in case you didn't get that, sorry, that was a pretty good, damn good joke. I will admit that. I kind of consider most of mine lame because, I'm not the kind of person that laughs at my own jokes unless they're really fucking funny. Which only happens every once in a while because I'm not a funny person. I'm not. I got nothing. So don't listen to this podcast. No. No, I'm just really critical of myself. Maybe it's all those pills I take. Anyway. Monday Night Raw. I swear I'm not 12. It's this caffeine. Anyway, Monday Night Raw. With The Rock returning to Raw, will he bring in the entertainment value Raw has been so severely lacking for the last several months? Or will this be yet another terrible Raw with the inclusion of an underwhelming Rock promo, leading the fans to further believe why he even came back? Also, with CM Punk at the front of a big, fresh angle against one of the biggest names in pro wrestling history, will he finally manage to cut a decent promo after well over a year's worth of stale material? Or will he yet again cut a disjointed, lazy mess that even my 10-year-old cousin would get douche chills from? All these questions will receive obvious answers before the podcast is over. Stay tuned. Except that doesn't really work. I wrote a really shitty introduction for this. God. Now everyone knows that I write the introductions for these recaps, not that it wasn't obvious anyway. Oh well, this show... How did this show start off? Anyway, oh yeah, that's right. The show began with a video package hyping The Rock's decision to face the champion... whatever the champion would be at the time, which is probably going to be CM Punk. I wouldn't like to spoil this before I get to it, but yeah. Fuck. Brain freeze. Just had a massive fucking brain freeze. Okay, where was I? Fuck, get it together. What was I talking about? Yeah. Anyway. The video package. It showed Punk, yeah. Okay, yeah, Punk was declaring that he will be the champ at the Royal Rumble and The Rock's opponent. And actually, I've got to give the creative department some credit here. They definitely couldn't keep up with the Rock-Cena feud, but they sure did manage to keep Punk the consistent champion for the entire year. I didn't know they had it in them. You learn something new every day. Ryback is then hyped as a serious contender, and the possible downfall to Punk's match tonight at TLC, or in the TLC match, which would cost him the WWE title, meaning that Ryback would face The Rock at the Royal Rumble. Yep. Because everyone is paying to see Ryback versus The Rock at the Royal Rumble. I'd much rather see a hack of a wrestler in a reject RVD singlet face off against the most well-known pro wrestler of the past two decades. Not that I'm paying or watching for the Rumble anyway. So yeah. I honestly just have more important things to attend to than watching the Royal Rumble, like shaving the strip of my pubic hair between my testicles and asshole. John Cena opens the show to the usual mixed reaction, breaking the fourth wall and herping and derping before he even makes it to the ramp. So we're off to a great start so far. Sit down, relax, put in those tweaked audio earbuds, professional wrestling, Colt Cabana. I don't know where I'm going with this shit anymore. Man, this is like YouTube-level quality right here. Speaking of that, youtube.com/wrestlingtrollcast, which I don't know if I plugged at the beginning of the show, but there might be another clip coming up today, if I can get it uploaded in enough time. Okay. Yeah, but anyway. So, as I said before, we're off to a great start so far. And if you couldn't detect the sarcasm in that sentence, stop listening now. Just unsubscribe, delete all the past Wrestling Troll podcasts, implying that anyone actually listens to this, but yeah. No, I got emails, I just never want to fucking read them, sorry. As soon as I get done with the Raw recaps, I lose interest in recording, okay? Okay. Maybe it's something. That's why the podcasts only go like 40 minutes, an hour anyway. Because I just don't feel like talking anymore. I'm not used to it yet, and I never bring anything to drink with me. And this is the most interesting conversation with myself I've ever fucking had. Bar none. Anyway. The viewers are reminded of Shitgate 2012, the revisiting of the worst of Ziggler's pro wrestling career. Cena calls it a craptastic way to end the year in WWE. Oh, that was the terrible ending to the year? That's funny, because I felt the same way about every ending to Monday Night Raw for the last 4 years. He then says it's also a great way to kick off 2013. Hooray! I'm really looking forward to this year. I was planning on releasing an episode for all 52 weeks, but it looks like I probably won't make it past March. Cena says that tonight is a special night for all the fans, and if that were the case, well then why is he still there? Cena subtly mentions his feud with The Rock, and by subtle, I mean a brain-dead four-year-old would have picked up on it after being hit over the head with a blunt object multiple times. Ziggler interrupts Cena's promo before he can do any more damage to my IQ. Dolph is sporting a black eye, more than likely from those late rough nights in that hotel with Big E Langston. AJ also accompanies him, along with Big E Langston. She says that Cena broke his heart. That's Cena. What a catch, and what a heartbreaker. Then she calls him small. And I'm going to take a safe bet and assume that she actually did see his dick at one point out of kayfabe, okay? And it was sub-Titus O'Neil in size. I just like to think that so it boosts my ego. Maybe it doesn't work out so much for you, but I record a wrestling podcast, so not the biggest dick ever. No. Anyway. Cena then starts a wave for AJ's penis joke. Damn. I thought Cena said this was his year to make it back on top. Not going to make it to the top by doing the same old formula. Except that's how you made it to the top in the first place. Shit. Logic does not... No. This one isn't working out for me. Okay. What else was going on? Oh, yeah. Whew. If only I could bring that crowd around with me every time I made a lame joke. I'd sound so much more funny and captivating on this podcast. Cena then retorts by quoting Andrew Dice Clay, because the two were equal in comedic delivery. Yeah. Ziggler tells Cena that he will be in the Royal Rumble with him. But you know who else will be in the Rumble? Hornswoggle. And that's who they really need to worry about. He gave an FU to Tyson Kidd. Oh god, that happened. That happened. Let's start a counter for that. Anyone want to start a counter for that happened? And I will send you a check for $50,000 if you're correct for the night. That happened. Say goodbye to your career, Tyson Kidd. Because you just got FU'd by a midget. Fuck this company. And they say creative mismanages talent. But in 2013, people can just enter the Rumble by saying they are. Just like I told that girl I was going to have sex with her, so it didn't count as rape. Cena then makes a handjob joke, because that's the content I was looking for. The same kind of shit I could have easily found in a fifth grade classroom, a place I frequent during the week already, so I don't really need to hear it for another 3 hours when I get home. That's right, I hang out in grade schools. If there isn't an episode out by next Thursday, would someone mind bailing me out? Then Big E Langston grabs the mic and reminds everyone why he was silent during his debut. AJ, well, yeah, he was about as impressive as his promo in NXT that I heard parts of. Anyway, AJ and Ziggler berate their rainbow-colored slave because it wasn't his place to talk. As a callback to Django Unchained, all I have to say about that is that a nigga on the mic? I can use that word because I knew a black guy once. That also gives me free rein to use any racial slur I please. Hooray for black people! Ziggler faces Cena in the first match of the night, and I quickly notice something is absent in the beginning of the fight. And then after, about a good 5 minutes or so, I realize that my stream, or actually my torrent, isn't playing the audio for commentary. Hey, maybe this Raw won't be so bad after all. So bad. If you have fun, if you so believe. That was a shitty Super Bowl commercial, as all Super Bowl commercials have been ever since I turned 15. Yeah, I'm 15. Now you know my age. Can't you tell by this fully developed adult voice of mine that I am a teenager? Yeah, okay. Where am I? No, I'm not 15, okay? Don't worry, don't unsubscribe. If there was any reason for you to unsubscribe, it definitely wouldn't be for that reason. I've given you plenty. And if you're still here, thank you. Thank you for putting up with this shit for the last year. Well, half a year. Well, not even that, because I'm only on episode 21, so the last 21 weeks. Which aren't even really 21 weeks, because I never upload, or I was pretty inconsistent. And this is the second most interesting conversation I've had with myself today. Anyway. The best part about that story, before I went off into that tangent, because of my goddamn autism... No, I don't have autism. Maybe I do. Maybe that would explain all these tangents. But anyway, the best part about that story I told you just before I went into that tangent, now I'm repeating myself. Hooray! Anyway, it's that it took me nearly 10 minutes to realize there was no commentary. The only time you'll ever notice them, usually, at least in my case, is when they shouldn't be talking, or one of them is dying while watching a primetime players match. And if there were any reason for me to envy Jerry Lawler, it'd be for that one single ability alone.
What's that? Zack Ryder versus Antonio Cesaro? My heart!
I love you, Jerry, just for that. Then about 20 minutes into the show, the commentary abruptly begins. Damn. Damn! Oh well, I just added a good 10 minutes to my material, so this'll be good. Cole calls Ziggler a tremendous athlete, citing the work that he does in the ring. That's right. You should have seen the... Or you haven't even seen the half of it, Cole. You should have been there last week I just ruined that joke. But yeah, you should have seen it last week in the DC hotel. You should have seen the shit he did with Biggie. See? There you go. An extra 40 minutes added to the podcast, guaranteed. Ziggler elbows Cena in the chest multiple times, a movie picked up from Biggie last night. That one didn't even make sense. Shit. My joke's starting to become as obscure as Cena's. Think I've been watching too much Raw, and Impact, and wrestling all together. But too much of Raw is more than 5 minutes in one sitting anyway. Should I keep doing this? I don't even know. 31:45 sounds like a good place to stop. So that's it this week. I will see you next week. Don't forget WrestlingTroll at gmail.com, WrestlingTroll.podomatic.com, The Wrestling Troll on iTunes. Leave me a review. Don't forget the PayPal. Helps fund for the show. And I will see you here next week. Goodbye. John Cena then hulks up and begins his formulaic finish to every match. Cole calls it... John Cena... Yeah, John Cena hulks up and Cole calls it as the shoulder tackle after shoulder tackle, which just about sums up the last 7 years of this company. After nearly enough spots and false finishes to make an Undertaker WrestleMania match, or make Undertaker cream his pants, Ziggler wins with the help of Big E. Nope, not JPEG, just another false finish. And in case you were wondering, the outcome to this match... LOL, Cena wins. Seriously. No. There was this nice spot in the match. It was decent, except for the whole ending to it where Cena overcomes the odds. But honestly, this point in the match where John Cena gives the FU to Dolph Ziggler, Dolph just flips onto his feet before his back lands on the mat, kicks Cena in the jaw, and knocks him to the floor. That should have been the end of the match. Ziggler gets the 3 count, and the match just abruptly ends. It's one of those, tell me I did not just see that moments. That's how the match should have ended. And that was booking with Ben Robinson. But anyway, this match, this fucking match right here, not even the offense of Ziggler and a gigantic rainbow man could take out Cena. For the first time ever, John Cena overcame the odds. Fucking hate myself for watching this. But I do it for you guys. Then the fans pile out of the arena and 65% of the viewers at home change the channel because they saw the one guy that they watched the show for. Eve comes out to the ring to defend the Divas title in the second match of the night. Damn, I'm almost 40 minutes in to this show, and I'm only on match number 2. Maybe I can just burn through this. Cole says, how could she not love being Divas champion? You've got that one right. There's nothing more I'd love than to hold a purple piece of plastic for 3 minutes on Monday night. WWE announces that they will be posting live tweets from the hashtag RockOnRaw. Well, this is going to end well. Cue shit storm of racial slurs and name drops of Benoit in 3, 2, 1. No. Don't worry, that didn't actually happen, because I'm sure they proofread all the tweets before they posted a live stream of them for the 5-10 minutes that it happened, only so they could get it to trend worldwide on Twitter. Fuck. I can't even talk. Anyway. Eve versus Caitlyn. Eve exits the ring and stands over by a portion of the stage, losing via countout. The camera continues to focus in on her while there's some guy on production's torso just a few feet away from her. And damn, was that a mood killer. That's like seeing a guy's face in a porno right before you finish. Backstage 3MB announces that they've entered the world. 3MB announced that they will enter the Royal Rumble and that one of them will main event Mania. Wow, I can't wait for that one. Once in a lifetime. Never before, never again. The WWE Champion Dwayne The Rock Johnson goes one-on-one with the guy that got beat up by Tiffany in the main event of WrestleMania. Rhodes Scholars face off against Hell No. Cole says that Sandow's family has played an important role in the construction of our nation. So next time, when you think of America, think of Damian Sandow. I am America. Then Randy Orton buries the Nexus of the Week, 3MB. After that, a graphic appears touting last week's Raw as the number one show on basic cable, because there is so much interesting content to be found on cable television on New Year's Eve. Congratulations, WWE. You beat nothing. Backstage, Stryker interviews Sheamus. Oh shit, just dropped my flash drive cover thing. Oh fuck, where did that go? Anyway. Yeah, Stryker is interviewing Sheamus backstage. Hooray, Sheamus talks about Uncle Blarney and his hairy testicles or something. I don't know. I just know he makes a bunch of arse jokes and talks about nuts. Anyway, Stryker asks Sheamus if he can once again win the Royal Rumble and the heavyweight title in 18 seconds. I really hope not. Seeing a gassed Big Show job in a matter of seconds, only to get massively over as a result, isn't really high on my list at the moment. And actually, that's the last thing we need, an over Big Show. Next thing you know, he'll be taking giant management classes with his tag partner Hornswoggle. Oh God. That's probably going to happen. I hope Creative doesn't listen to this podcast, because no one else does. Then Cesaro wrestles the Great Khali, because that was clearly a good idea. Let's pit a man known for his wrestling ability against a giant Indian incapable of doing anything that involves, you know, standing up and moving. But really, all that match was for so that he could give his fucking finisher. I can't even remember what it's called, but the only reason they had that match was so he could do that weird finisher where he's giving them, where he picks them up by their dick or something. I don't know. But it was only there just so he could do that to the Great Khali, which actually looked pretty damn impressive. And Ryback can't even lift up Lord Hentai, a 240-pound man. So, gotta give it up to Antonio Cesaro. You lifted a giant Indian that's immobile. So clearly, he wasn't helping you out at all with that one. Backstage, Heyman continues to break up with Brad Maddox, well, attempts to, asking him to stay out of his life. Maddox is still unable to understand Heyman's refusal to continue their relationship, but Brad Maddox cannot deny his love for Heyman, and still attempts to regain his love and attention. Ugh, God. aside from those homosexual overtones, this actually fucking happened. Then Ginger Mahala bites Seamus's arse. Seamus is so funny. He's right up there in comedic wit with George Carlin. You can find Seamus this whole weekend at the Laugh Factory on 10th Street. And in order to make his material seem better in comparison, I will be opening for him. Then a 10-minute video package airs for the Ryback Punk conflict. It's like they're trying to stall well into the third hour for the return of Rock at the end of the match. Back from the break, John Gruden is shown attending tonight's show. Holy shit! I can't believe John Gruden is in attendance tonight! Can you believe the star power attracted to this show? By God, King! I can't believe the legendary Gruden is here to watch us tonight! By God, I am forever humbled by his presence! By God, Stone Cold John Gruden! Blah! I don't have a single fucking clue who he is. See the guy that's married to Gayle Kim? That's on TLC or the Food Network or something? I don't know. I don't know. But someday I will find an Asian for my own. I've already got the white guy part down, so I think I'm capable of finding a hot Asian to nail. I just have to find Asians. Not a whole lot of diversity in Indiana. I will warn you, don't come here if you like any race of women other than white, because you're not going to find anything else here. So it's pretty fucking boring, okay? See? I'm not racist. I'd fuck any kind of woman, unless she has a bush. Or fat, or unattractive. I don't fuck ugly women, okay? I have high standards. That's why I host a wrestling podcast. Because only hosts of wrestling podcasts are getting pussy. I'm going to tell you that right now. Anyway, Punk shows no trouble entering the ring for this match, to which King says,
"How fast can he climb up that rope?"
"Faster than Benoit can suffocate his wife." With another hour left in the show, it's obvious only one thing can happen. A 30-minute Rock promo. We haven't seen him in, half a year, so it's time for Rocky to go Triple H on all our asses. Except this will be somewhat entertaining. And not everyone will actually be ruined in the process, just the year-and-a-half build the creative team put into Punk's title reign. But actually, then again, The Rock has been terrible since he's returned, pretty much. Aside from that first promo when he initially returned, he really hasn't been that great. It's been a bunch of lame, cringeworthy jokes, much like what you would find on this show. Anyway, CM Punk's going to drop the title at the Rumble, and then completely forget about it so Cena can come and save the day at Mania. Hooray! There's your $60, kids. Actually, let me do a little fantasy booking here. In all honesty, if they wanted to do a three-part Dwayne Cena series, it would really make the most sense if they just add Punk this year and have him regain the title at Mania and Cena can go on a vengeance at WrestleMania 30. It would make sense. Okay. Like I said, a little fantasy booking here. What I'd like to see at the Royal Rumble, which is actually something I had planned at the end of the show, but I'll just go ahead and share now. Well, what would actually make the most sense, or storyline-wise, would be okay, I guess. Well, actually, okay, this is what I want to see. Let me just get my point across here. I would much rather see CM Punk lose the world title at the Royal Rumble than Cena wins the Royal Rumble, because his promos last week indicated so. Because this is the year of the Cena. The John Cena. Anyway, Cena, Punk is just absolutely pissed that he lost after such a long title reign. Challenges The Rock to a match at Mania. Rock accepts, but then John Cena says he's going after the WWE title at Mania, so that creates the triple threat match in Mania between John Cena, CM Punk, and The Rock. And if they decide on continuing what a hunk that CM Punk! If they continue on, if creative wants to continue CM Punk's heel persona, they should have him regain the title back at Mania. Yeah, I know, Rock has a 2-month-long title reign, but whatever. He gets to go on the talk shows and hype up WrestleMania with the WWE title around his waist, and more than likely he'll be the one to unveil the WWE title, which is why we haven't seen the new one, because I think they're waiting for that moment for Rock to win at the Rumble, then show up the next night on Raw if he's scheduled to show everyone the new belt. Anyway, I'm opening this Blu-ray. It's a WWE Blu-ray. Hooray, Amazon. Anyway, where was I going with this? If they wanted to continue Punk's heel persona, have him regain the title at WrestleMania, and then go on to trash Cena so he has a main event angle after Mania, because I don't want this to go to the Miz route, where they do nothing with him after that, and then he just turns face and does shitty segments in the mid-card. Punk continues the heel persona, trashes Cena for saying, oh, this was supposed to be your year where you let's just forget about everything that happened last year. Cena is going back to the top. You couldn't even do it. I lost my title at the Royal Rumble, but I still got it back. I beat The Rock, and I beat you at Mania. What else? What else do I have to prove to these people? You still have a long way to go, Cena. A long way to go. You haven't done a single damn thing this year to prove yourself other than win the Royal Rumble, and congratulations for that. But this isn't the year of the Cena. This is another year of CM Punk, and then they can have a feud and whatever the fuck. Maybe he gets screwed out of the title by Brock Lesnar, and then at SummerSlam, if Brock Lesnar resigns, they have a Brock Lesnar, CM Punk match, either for the WWE title or not, depending on where creative wants to go with this, even though they're not going to, but this is my fantasy booking, so fuck you guys. But anyway, I could see them going with Punk, Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, even though that's not really believable, but Heyman has to choose between one of the two, which leads to CM Punk's face turn after he beats Lesnar. Or maybe not, maybe takes a massive fucking beating from Lesnar, and then after the match, he realizes that Heyman was the root cause of him losing the title in the first place, and breaks all of his previous ties with him, and just beats the shit out of him while Lesnar walks away. So there's Punk's face turn. Hooray! So we get another year of, almost an entire year of stale heel Punk. But anyway, that was interesting. Okay, back to the show. I'm going to wrap this up within the next 10 minutes, hopefully. Anyway, they could always go the route they planned on anyway, which is where they're going, and have Cena face The Rock in singles competition for 3 straight years while Punk flounders in the mid-card once again. Yeah, that second one's definitely happening. Meanwhile, Ryback faces all 3 members of The Shield at Mania, ruining the careers of 2 potential main eventers and Roman Reigns. Then Punk wins the TLC match via Reigns' interference. Shield's interference. What a fucking surprise. I thought the white Big E Langston was facing The Rock at the Royal Rumble at one of the biggest pay-per-views of the year. Really was counting on that happening. Heyman cries uncontrollably in the corner as Punk celebrates on the ladder. Had this happened a year ago, I would have been crying along with Haman while furiously masturbating in my living room. Then the seeds are somewhat planted for a hell no breakup, which definitely needs to happen. The most over-tagged team in years, and one of the involving one of the most over guys in the company in a long fucking time. Yeah, let's take away everything that's really put him over in the last several months. Because they're there every step of the way to make sure Daniel Bryan doesn't succeed. And now that everything they've tried has failed and ultimately gotten him over, they're just going to keep at it until he gets released from his contract in 2015 after he's jobbing to Jinder Mahal and the 14-man band. Anyway, the only thing to come out of that backstage segment with Kane and Daniel Bryan is that Vicky hides in random places backstage waiting to settle conflicts. Then CM Punk says it's about time to drop another pipe bomb. Judging by his current work, though, I sure can't wait for that. All you people out here need to understand that your local sports team underperforms. Also, you guys are smelly. Pipe bomb! Then a video package airs, recapping the Mexican guy from Weeds' face turn. Del Rio. Nobody got that joke because no one watched Weeds after season 2. Anyway, or 3, I don't know. Punk enters the ring and tells the fans he has to tell everyone something personal. That being that he has testicular cancer and will be retiring from WWE tonight. Pipe bomb! Yeah, I'm on a roll with these pipe bomb jokes. No, nothing will ever live up to that episode recorded the week after the Newtown Massacre. That, I love that fucking episode with all of its, those edgy jokes. Edgier than WWE, which isn't too hard, but anyway. CM Punk's promo, at least the first 5 minutes, consisted of, LOL, this is all fake. I pretended to be angry to win you guys over and get more money. The worst part about that is, he actually did. He fooled us all, but he actually proved himself in this promo, because, in all honesty, Punk cut the best fucking promo since the shoot in Vegas, at least as long as I can remember. He blamed the fans for the current state of the product, and shit all over it, all in one. He overplayed his title reign, which actually added prestige to the title, something that's been lost for quite some time. It's a shame that he's dropping it to The Rock at the Rumble, and who will then lose it to Cena 2 months later, who will probably trade it to Dolph Ziggler for the rest of the year. That's some real progress right there. So get ready. By the time Elimination Chamber rolls around, we can forget all about CM Punk's justified hatred of The Rock and his tired catchphrases and pandering, and trade it in for poop and cereal jokes. That is, after all, the sole mission for this feud. It's just a placeholder for what is to come. An overhyped, highly promoted spectacle that is the half-assed nature of John Cena and The Rock. Although CM Punk's character and promos have grown stale, he still put in twice the work of Dwayne and Cena, and at WrestleMania, all that work is going to pay off. Punk will square off against Ryback halfway into the show, while the lackluster feud that will be Rock and Cena 2 main events. Just remember, it's hard work and dedication that pay off in the end. Unless it's WWE, then fuck you. And with that, I think it's time for a change. Because it's time to change, time to rearrange. Yes, it is certainly time for a change, not only on this podcast, but also WWE in general. Last night, I watched this last night, but anyway, we were given probably the best segments in quite some time, which is leading into a feud that will culminate at the Royal Rumble. Possibly not. Maybe it will culminate at WrestleMania, as I hope it will. But in all honesty, are we just going to see this feud abandoned in replacement for another venture into the crazy, wacky feud that is John Cena and The Rock? Because I really don't want to see this again. If they have to involve John Cena, as I've said multiple times before, CM Punk has to be in that match. Otherwise, they've just ruined everything they've spent the last almost 2 years at this point building him up to. They build him up, and they could honestly just completely ruin it right in time for that Road to WrestleMania season. They have to have CM Punk either lose the title or retain it all the way to Mania and fight in the main event, and then continue to fight in the main event well beyond that, or at least in a big angle. None of this mid-card shit, okay? You got that? Otherwise, they have just completely ruined everything they've worked for in the last year, and maybe that's not what they're working for. Maybe he's just going to be fodder that just leads into The Rock and Cena, which is definitely what I'm looking forward to. I've spent all this time and dedicated to this product. Dedicated. Oh, that's funny. I don't give a shit about this company, but I spent all this time watching this product just so I could see that heel or that shoot promo in July in Vegas finally pan out. And they have to do it. This has to be CM Punk's moment, because this is my moment. My moment. And really, if there is someone in creative listening to this, please go with my little fantasy booking, because I think this will pay off. You have to do this. Maybe it's just a little too obvious and they are going this route, but please, please steal my idea. Have Punk drop the title at the Rumble, then enter a triple threat feud with The Rock and John Cena, John Jean Shorts Genia, have him regain the title at WrestleMania, then criticize Cena the night after Raw, entering in a feud with them. Accidentally disconnected the mic. Oh boy. I don't even know where I was going with this, because I kind of disconnected my mic and just kept talking for another good minute. But anyway, this has to pay off. They've spent all this time building up his character. They can't just ruin that year, 2 years by the time they get to Mania. 2 years worth of progress with this character. Building him up, giving him the title, giving him Heyman. Hell, they've thrown almost everything they can at him at this point. If he doesn't pull off that win at Mania, in the main event, wins the title once again, or has some sort of big WrestleMania moment in the main event, it's all been ruined. And no, this isn't some internet fanboy speculation or nerdgasming. Oh, fuck. I just went brain dead. I was going to make an excellent point, and now it's been ruined. Yeah, this isn't some ridiculous fanboy statement. CM Punk. Really, think about it. CM Punk has to pull off some sort of big win at Mania. Otherwise, this doesn't work, and not some cheap heel tactic bullshit that they love to do. It's got to be a big moment. And fuck, maybe turn him face. I don't know. Or keep going on with that plan I had, all the way up to SummerSlam, where it culminates with the feud against Brock Lesnar. And finally, Heyman is taken care of. So it all works out in the end, okay? And somewhere in there, there's some shoot promos. Anyway, decent Raw this week, and it wasn't even with The Rock. The Rock didn't really add much to the show. Some of it was decent, but hey, we saw what a real feud between two big stars, if you can consider CM Punk a big star. We saw what a real feud is like. Not the stupid bullshit where two people trade jokes back and forth. Too bad we probably aren't going to get it at Mania, and we're just going to get Cena Rock 2, and it's going to be a giant pile of shit. I can't wait for it, and I'm sure you can't either. But anyway, I think that just about wraps up this show. Next week, I'm probably going to discuss some possible Royal Rumble debuts, returns, whatever. And then who, well, you already know who I'd like to see to win the Rumble, but probably a big Royal Rumble discussion. If not, that will be coming up before, that'll be coming up before, the Royal Rumble, and then I guess I'll recap that if I watch it. I don't know, I'll have to see when it airs, because fucking work, hooray. I gotta work on Sundays. Anyway, as always, you can get into contact with the show at WrestlingTroll@gmail.com. Have your thoughts and opinions heard on the show. You can also follow me on Twitter, because I don't have an official Twitter for the show yet. You can follow me on at WWETheComic. You can hear my additional ramblings throughout the week. And speaking of that, there might be additional content throughout the week over at Wrestling... Wrestling Trollcast on YouTube. That's youtube.com/WrestlingTrollcast, where at this point I'm just taking clips or sound bites from the show and adding them onto YouTube. But maybe there will be some additional content throughout the week. Maybe that'll be the news section, or you can get a sneak peek at the upcoming episode. I don't know yet. I will figure this out. I'd like to put in more time into this podcast. What else is there? WrestlingTroll.podomatic.com. Help fund the show. There's a PayPal link over in the sidebar. You can subscribe to me there. Hell, do anything. Anything helps out my ranking on Podomatic. Gets it out to more people. Which it definitely has. I think I reached, maybe the top 10. In the professional section on Podomatic last week. So thank you. I beat out some other big podcasts. There's also The Wrestling Troll on iTunes. Check me out on iTunes. Leave me a rating. Subscribe to the show. Anything to get me noticed on iTunes, because I want to get my message out to more people. Because it's always about getting it out. And this show's not about making money. I'm in no way making money off of this show at this point. But if the opportunity opens, hell, I might take it. But most importantly, I enjoy just doing the show for the entertainment value, because I haven't made any money in the 21 weeks so far that I've recorded episodes. So, with that, that's how I'm going to end the show, trying to defend myself with an argument that I was having with myself. Hooray! Anyway, I am Ben Robinson, coming at you live from my mother's basement, and I will see you next Tuesday. Yeah, probably next Tuesday. Until then, have a merry wrestlingness. I don't know. Del Rio won the title, or is winning the title. No, he won the title. Oh, fuck, that's not even a spoiler. Shit. Also, I forgot to mention it on the podcast. Billy Graham went crazy and attacked CM Punk. El Generico's headed to WWE, and Mickey James' stomach exploded, and she's receiving multiple staples to repair her stomach. Because she's fat. This is what you get at the end of the show. I got nothing else.